There are very few things that investors can do that are free. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, saving strategies, financial planning, topical items of interest, and maybe even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to Free Lunch, hosted by the CM Group. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty to help clients achieve their vision through a deep understanding of what is important to them that requires planning, money, and time. Learn more and subscribe today at markets-work.com.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Greg and Colin. Greg, every week I tend to summarize what we did the last week.
Yes.
I'm not really sure why I do that, but we're going to do that again this week.
Well, maybe if somebody didn't listen to last week's episode or the episode that's actually coming out today, then maybe this will be a little reminder.
It's a guide, really. So Greg, last week we had a guy named Brad Nelson on the show, otherwise known as the Debt-Free Dad.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed that interview, and I would recommend people check it out because when I think about debt, I also think about things like food, exercise, and investing. And I know maybe that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it will in a few moments.
Exactly.
I promise. So let me dive into the debt part first. So let me just say that throughout our time on this planet that we call Earth, we tend to go through a cycle of debt. And that cycle is linked to the cycle of our age and our financial and physical maturity. And some of that debt is good and some of it is not so good. So for example, purchasing your first home typically requires a mortgage because most people need to get financing to make the largest single purchase in their life.
Yes.
And that is debt. That I would call good debt. The debt has a life to it. And if you make your payments on time, you pay off your house in Canada in approximately 25 years. That could be faster. It could be longer based on some variables, but I would call that good debt.
Sure.
But taking cash advances from your credit card is not good debt.
Absolutely not.
And there are a lot of people that do that, unfortunately. Or worse, taking cash advances off your credit card to make other debt payments is unmanageable debt on steroids. So those are very different forms of debt.
That's right. Yeah. And you could call it healthy or unhealthy. And that's tying in directly to our whole discussion. So last week's discussion with Brad Nelson, a good discussion about being debt free. And let's talk about foods.
Okay.
Because food, as you say, it'll become clear at the end.
I promise.
That's right. You promised why this will make sense. So let's talk about food fads as they relate to getting healthy. So this idea came out of a documentary, which we both watched and many other people may want to watch, and it's called You Are What You Eat, documentary on Netflix. And in the documentary, basically it's documenting a research study. Nominally, that's what it's about, documenting a research study with identical twins. And the concept of doing research with identical twins is that twins are genetically identical, as most people would know. And therefore, you can change variables for one twin against the other twin and see what happens. And in this particular case, they were showing where one twin converted to a vegan plant-based diet and exercise, and the other twin adhered to an omnivore diet, which includes meat and vegetables, etc., and exercise. So the difference being the plant-based diet. And they assessed the twins at the beginning of the project and then again 8 weeks later at the end. So the findings, as it turns out, were not 100% conclusive, but in the movie, there was an obvious bias towards encouraging people to go plant-based only. So it came as no surprise when you dig into it a little bit that the movie was funded by a group called the VOGT, V-O-G-T, VOGT Foundation. And this foundation works, in their own words, to assist plant-based developments and protect all animals while supporting organizations that produce animal alternative products or protect animals, which are all very reasonable objectives, by the way. At least for me. So the findings of the study and the documentary are going to support what the foundation is all about. And this isn't new, but it's just another direction of other dietary fads or ideas that we've seen in the past. Okay, and when you go back for people, because let's be honest, many people, unfortunately, would like to lose some weight. I've been one of those people on and off my life, and most people at various times probably, unfortunately, have to deal with that. So people are always looking for a way to achieve that, ideally in a somewhat easier way. So back in the 1980s to the 90s, there was the low-fat diet craze, where everybody just keep fat out of your diet. Then in the 2000s, there was the Atkins diet, and that was keeping carbohydrates out of your diet. In fact, encouraging you to eat as much meat as you wanted.
Bacon every day?
Including bacon, sausages, you name it, as long as you didn't have bread.
Now, the problem is the guy that developed the Atkins diet died of a heart attack.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Just a side note.
Another thing that's come along since the early 2000s and is still going is the whole concept of superfoods, foods with lots of antioxidants and other things like that. Gluten-free diet started in the 2010s and is still going on. Plant-based and vegan diets started in about the 2010s. The keto diet, same thing, which is more of a Mediterranean-style diet.
I think it's more like the Atkins diet, but maybe not with bacon every day. Just more protein, very few carbs, lots of vegetables.
Exactly. There's intermittent fasting, which started up maybe 10 years ago and is still a thing. Fermented foods, all those foods that are very good for you. I remember, and this is going back to long before you were born, but there was a grapefruit diet because I remember my parents trying that out when I was a kid. And I guess you just ate a lot of grapefruit and somehow that was supposed to work. So there's no shortage of plans. And I think where we all get it wrong is bouncing around between the plans, Atkins 1 year, vegan, then gluten-free. And the idea is, wouldn't it be better to have a plan, and stick to it? And one of the things that I've noticed, if you look at how all of these plans work, it's always they put in an idea like, okay, leave carbs out. But it's always in combination with some calorie control. So maybe unlike Atkins, where you eat as much bacon as you want. But for the most part, I think it's generally scientifically proven that if you expend more calories than you consume, you'll probably lose weight. And if you expend less calories than the consume, you probably gain weight. So a lot of these diets, they include some form of calorie control and exercise. And what they require is a behavior change. And that's the hardest thing to do. So to fight your behavior, your desire to eat whatever you want and magically lose weight. So it's one of the things that if you dig down into a lot of these, it gets down to basics.
I actually experienced intermittent fasting yesterday, Greg. I didn't have breakfast because I had to get to the passport office early and get in line because I needed to renew my passport in person. And I was there for 4 hours. So as a result of being in line for 4 hours and not having breakfast, I inadvertently was participating in the intermittent fasting diet.
All right. And did you lose weight overnight?
I think I did, actually. But okay. Well, you're right. It comes down to a plan and whether it's investing, diet, health, and exercise. But let's talk about health and exercise. So in the show, they showed the participants collaborating with trainers on various workout plans. And there's been a number of fads on workout plans over the years, just like you mentioned on diet plans. I've seen a lot of them come and go. And things like aerobics was really big in the 80s.
I remember headbands and leg warmers.
Who doesn't like leg warmers?
Exactly.
Which led to step aerobics in the 90s, which then led to spin classes in the 90s going into the 2000s. And then, of course, the popular boot camps that were developed, all about mimicking a army boot camp regiment, which led to the CrossFit craze of the early 2000s to the 2010s, which obviously led to something like Zumba, which I've never done. But have you done Zumba, Greg?
I have not done Zumba, no.
Maybe we should try it one day.
You think?
Well, you know, we'll skip breakfast and we'll go to a Zumba class.
Right on.
Which led to, I think it's pronounced Barre, B-A-R-R-E. Again, something I haven't tried, but not against trying. And then there's the high-intensity interval training, or HIIT, which became popular in the early 2010s. And now we're faced with something called mindful movement, which is more like being mindful of the movement that you're doing, I guess. But
I've never heard of that one.
Well, we were talking before we started recording. They're all just different variations of the same thing. Whether it's food, it's just a variation of a well-balanced diet in some form with a calorie count. And when it's exercise, it's just a variation of aerobic and non-aerobic exercise, some strength training and some aerobic training. So it's not rocket science, really. Hey, Greg, did you know that we've got to go to our sponsor for a minute? Did you know we have a sponsor?
I did not know that.
Yeah, we're just going to cut to our sponsor and our ad. So just bear with us for a moment, listeners. So here it goes. Are you worried about your financial future? Want to get a better understanding of what your financial life could look like? Then you might want to check out www.markets-work.com. A team of professionals interested in helping you achieve what is important to you that requires planning, money, and time. Okay, we're back from the sponsor.
That brought a tear to my eye.
Okay, so we talked about diet and exercise, but how does it relate to investing? Because at the end of the day, we are investment professionals, and it's the same in the investment world. I'm sure many have heard about things like dividend strategy, just get paid to wait. That's just a theme, Greg. It's no different than the Atkins diet theme. Even within the dividend strategy, there are sub-themes that have existed over the years, such as dividend growth investing or high-yield dividend stocks, dividend ETFs, dividend reinvestment plans, and dividend aristocrats. So I guess if somebody was looking at dividend strategy in investing and they're digging deep into those five different subsectors, they've got to ask, well, which one is it? Should I be just focused on companies that increase their dividends annually? Should I just have a broad range of dividend stocks and an ETF? So the question to you is, how does this relate?
Well, and getting to that question of which is it, in the show that I mentioned earlier, You Are What You Eat, they do make fun of the old milk mustache commercials that we saw in the early to mid-90s. That was the Got Milk campaign. And of course, the goal of those commercials was to endorse consuming more milk because of the benefits of calcium. And as you have mentioned before on this podcast, for the most part, that's probably bunk.
Yeah, I like saying that. This is bunk.
Bunk. Good word. I like to call it jive. That's just jive talk.
I don't think of jive in that way. I think of if you say, yeah, that jives, that goes with it.
Oh, okay. And I think of it more as like, don't give me that jive. Don't give me that nonsense. Well, we'll agree to disagree on jive. Anyway, if you eat a well-balanced diet that includes leafy vegetables, you're probably getting enough calcium already. And as we know, there are many people are maybe allergic to dairy or something and can thrive very nicely without actually drinking milk. So who funded those commercials? The dairy farmers. And the dairy farmers have an elevated interest in selling more milk. And to me, it's the same thing with dividends. And it's why you always say dividends are like calcium. If you have a well-diversified portfolio, you're already collecting dividends from the securities you own without taking any concentration risk around only owning dividend securities. So listen, there's been a lot of investing fads. The same way there's been diet fads and exercise fads, what about some investing fads that have come and gone over the years, including dot-com stocks in the late 1990s, real estate in the mid-2000s until the global financial crisis, cryptocurrency is still out there, cannabis stocks had a year or so of a lot of enthusiasm, and that has gone away for a while. SPACs, which many people might not know, the special purpose acquisition companies, those were basically like blind trusts in a way. People would invest in a company, and they would have no idea what the company itself was going to do.
They were just buying other companies.
They were putting money in with the hope that the managers of the SPAC would go out and buy good companies, and therefore they would have a... It's like a mystery company, making a mystery investment. I don't know what I'm going to get, but I'm going to trust these guys.
It's like when you rent a car online and you can choose the mystery vehicle.
Exactly.
Sometimes you get a minivan, sometimes you get a Dodge Ram 1500.
Yeah. So electrical vehicles, that's still ongoing. We've got green energy, SRI, socially responsible investing, and ESG, environmental, social, and governance is still going on. NFTs, non-fungible tokens.
Man, those died.
Yeah, those are a good one, 2021 to 2022. There was decentralized finance. That's something that's ongoing and could well become a bigger thing, but who knows? The GameStop short squeeze back in 2021. Tech stocks during the pandemic. I had a fantastic run, had a magnificent fall, and then some of them, seven in particular, had a fantastic run again. So these are all investing fads. And the thing is that they do come and go. And I want to mention one more that I just... It really gets my goat because I read another article about one this morning.
I can jive with this.
Can you? Okay, so it's this concept that private debt, private equity, now retail investors finally have access to the kind of investments that high net worth people have had for years or institutions have had for years.
Wait a minute, this sounds like another ad. This isn't an ad.
This is not an ad. And this is when products are offered up as being previously only available for the very wealthy, and now they're being made available to you, the retail investor. And I think of, in a previous podcast, we talked about Benjamin Graham. Benjamin Graham being the father of value investing, the mentor and teacher of Warren Buffett, the one who decided that you could, by analyzing companies and trying to determine their fundamental value, then if you were able to buy those companies at a price lower than their fundamental value, then you had a cushion of safety. And back in the early 1930s, when Benjamin Graham was doing this analysis, there weren't a lot of people doing that analysis. So if you did the analysis, you actually had an edge, okay? And then in a talk he gave back in the early 1960s, he himself identified the fact that with so many people now doing fundamental analysis, that there really wasn't an advantage anymore for the people that were doing it. And therefore, investors at that time were better off investing in a well-diversified mutual fund rather than trying to find value companies the way he did in the 30s. And it was reminiscent to me as I thought about these new ways of investing that were previously only available for the rich. And it's like, well, as soon as everybody's doing it, then any advantage that those types of investments had gets arbitraged away eventually.
Immediately.
Yeah, and then all that ends up happening is you end up paying high fees to the manager who's going to find those investments for you. So again, just another investing fad, and I think we'll be seeing those things for years to come.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Private credit specifically gets my goat, as you say, because they say, okay, here's a fund of opportunities to get paid more in private credit. Well, what is private credit? That's debt that somebody couldn't get from an established financial institution because maybe they couldn't qualify for it. So they've had to go to the private market that they're going to pay a higher interest payment to access that debt. Well, there's this thing called cost of capital, which we've talked about in the past. If somebody is willing to pay you 10% and somebody's willing to pay you 1%, which one would you choose? You'd choose 10%.
Exactly.
But why are they paying you 10%?
Well, and listen, in some cases, now there are certainly costs associated with going public, whether it's with debt or equity. So in some cases, maybe a company would decide to take their debt and issue it privately or their shares privately rather than going through the expense and the time of having it listed publicly. But what makes you think that the interest rate that you're going to earn is dramatically higher? It might be slightly higher, but what you give up, transparency,
liquidity,
oversight by a regulatory body, all sorts of things. So it's just yet another idea that I think we're going to see a lot more of, but unnecessary in most portfolios.
So in regards to the investment themes, the question is, which of these themes worked, which didn't? And the answer is, each of these themes worked for a period, what we would call market timing. You could have gotten into the dot-com bubble before it burst and got out before it burst, gotten into real estate before it burst and got out before it burst, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're trying to buy something cheap and then sell it when it's expensive, you're trying to time the market. And what we know is that market timing is not a sustainable investment strategy. Just like the Atkins diet probably works for a short period of time, but you can't eat bacon 3 times a day every day and expect good long-term health results. So what we want to wrap up today's session, is this a session?
Yes. Podcast session?
We want to talk about, well, what does work? And when it comes to food and diet and being healthy, there's lots of evidence that, as you mentioned earlier, if you just eat a well-balanced diet that includes lots of vegetables, that you may be further ahead than doing some of those other fad options, like the grapefruit diet.
Exactly.
You probably want to have a good mix of protein and carbs and vegetables. And a little aside here, Greg, when I watched that movie, what's it called again?
You Are What You Eat.
You Are What You Eat. I watched it with my wife, and she said, we got to do this. We got to have more plant-based foods in our diet. And I said, I do have plant-based foods in my diet. I eat animals that eat plants.
There you go.
So when it comes to health, i.e. exercise, it seems that regular activity that includes some form of resistance training and cardio offers the best long-term results. So that's not quite a fad. We've heard for a long time about the benefits of cardio and strength training.
Well, and I think when it comes to investing, as we've harped on over almost 200 podcasts, it's relatively simple. It's a simple solution. Have a well-diversified portfolio, have an asset allocation that reflects your tolerance for risk and volatility, and develop a plan and stick to it. Sounds easy. The same way, well, gee, how do you stay healthy and in shape and at a reasonable weight? Eat a well-balanced diet. Don't overdo. Don't go excessively strongly into any one area, like too many carbs or too much fat in your diet, but well-balanced. And that's just a plan. That's just modifying your behavior and making a commitment to. But there's so many things that want to pull you away from your plan. So in diet, it's desserts. It's those sweet things. Some people have a chocolate craving. Some people like ice cream. Some people crave salty things. And it's those things that pull you away from your plan. And I can go through every day and say, oh man, I just ate so healthy during the day. And then I had a half of a pie for dessert and you wipe it out. And it's the same way people can approach their investment portfolios is, yeah, they buy into the whole strategy of, okay, well, diversification, asset allocation, low cost, and then something will happen in the market, whether it's a big run up in tech stocks or a big run up in oil and gas stocks from time to time. And they pull to participate is very strong. So the way I like to think of it is, and we've said this many times on this podcast, if you want to take a small amount of money and make an investment, something you believe in or you have a strong feeling towards and is somewhat speculative, no one's telling you not to do it, but control yourself. Take 5% of your portfolio if you want and put it into whatever theme type of investment you want and see how it goes. And maybe it'll work out and maybe it won't, but it won't damage your long-term plan. Just like dessert, you can be in very good shape and have a very healthy diet and still have a dessert. And if it probably is 5 to 10% of the calories you consume in a day, you're probably going to be just fine. If it becomes 80% of your calories, you're going to have trouble. And same way with your speculative investments. If 90% of your portfolio is well diversified the way we like to help people, then great.
I think of it like a cheat meal. The way my wife and I have lived our lives for a number of years now is to have a cheat meal per week. It's not a cheat day. It's one meal. You can eat whatever you want. You can eat as much of it as you want. And you're not going to be knocked off of your plan because every other meal and every other day is following a well-balanced diet. Same thing in your investing, as you mentioned. If you want to take a flyer, take the flyer. But just make sure that it's not taking a flyer every day, all day, because then you're going to finish with different results.
Right on.
Okay, well, that was fun. And it was good that we got a sponsor to deliver an ad in between. Maybe there'll be future sponsors.
Exactly.
In the future. Okay, well, should that do it for today?
That should do it.
Okay, well then, till next time.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by the CM Group. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to markets-work.com. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast. The CIBC logo and CIBC Private Wealth are registered trademarks of CIBC. If you are currently a CIBC Wood Gundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Private Wealth consists of services provided by CIBC and its subsidiaries, including CIBC Wood Gundy, a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc. CIBC Private Wealth is a registered trademark of CIBC used under license. Wood Gundy is a registered trademark of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Colin Andrews and Greg Kaminsky are investment advisors with CIBC Wood Gundy. This information, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy cannot be guaranteed and is subject to change. CIBC and CIBC World Markets, Inc., their affiliates, directors, officers, and employees may buy, sell, or hold a position in securities of a company mentioned herein, its affiliates, or subsidiaries, and may also perform financial advisory services, investment banking, or other services for or have lending or other credit relationships with the same. CIBC World Markets, Inc. and its representatives will receive sales commissions and or a spread between bid and ask prices if you purchase, sell, or hold the securities referred to above. CIBC World Markets, Inc. 2024.